Stephen A. Smith, your reaction to the Packers president saying the fan base is divided?
He's lying. No division here. My man Dominique Foxworth highlighted it this morning on Get Up. There's no division. Everybody wants Aaron Rodgers to stay in Brooklyn. It's a president trying to create a narrative that's going to be somewhat favorable to the Packers. You got no fans on this point. It's about Aaron Rodgers, please.
It's more like multiplication. Max, the Red Sox swept your Yankees. What's wrong in the BX?
Yankees can't score runs all of a sudden. Guys like LeMahieu, who not only were hitting for batting average, you know, not long ago, but started hitting for power, stopped. They just can't score runs. And it's been pointed out they're a very right-handed dominant team. Most great Yankees team are left-hand dominant, but they cannot score runs.
Stephen A., can I get your reaction to Ocho Cinco getting knocked down?
It happens. I mean, he had his arms down, got caught with a wild right hook. But I got news for you. Ocho Cinco actually looked good.
he
moved around pretty well. He avoided a lot of punches. He's got some skills. I'm not gonna throw shade on that. I like the way, other than that, getting caught like that.
And you know why he got caught? You know why he got caught? Because you're not expecting a punch from that angle. In fact, it's actually to his credit that he got caught with a wild, crazy shot like that. Because Ocho Cinco was boxing pretty well.
You know we have a boxing segment coming up for you to elaborate other than quick takes, right?
Well, I'm saying, out of time on quick takes? I thought that was pretty quick.
Go ahead, Mom.
I thought that was pretty quick.
All I know is who's going to be boxing next? What is happening? All right, guys, in back-to-back years, the Clippers have knocked out the Mavs despite Luka scoring or assisting on 77 points in Game 7. They were sent packing. He's certainly not the issue. Kristaps Porzingis, he's injury-prone. Stephen A., you mentioned it. So is it his supporting cast or is it coaching? Mark Cuban told ESPN he's not considering moving on from Rick Carlisle. Max, break it down for me here. What's the problem in Dallas?
Well, the problem in Dallas is Porzingis can't stay healthy. And what that means is every year, if he's lucky, he can get back to where he was the previous season at the end of the season. He didn't even do that this season. This season he didn't even do that. Last season, the bubble season, he spent the year trying to get back to where he was. And by the way, he got there. He couldn't get past it, but he got there. 35 points in the playoffs. Maybe he's going to be the deciding factor against the Clippers. It didn't work out that way. Got hurt, as usual. And then this year, he wasn't even able to get back to where he was last year. Look, you're 7'3". You know, you have to see the reason the Lakers don't draft bigs is because they want to see with bigs, with giants, whose body's going to hold up? Let's give this 6 or 7 years through attrition, see who's there. We'll grab that guy on free agency or a trade, right? Shaq, Kareem, whoever it is, let's grab that guy. But when you draft a big or trade for a big earlier in his career, you don't know. And Porzingis has always had an injury history, and that is the problem. He cannot be a reliable, even number two, because he can't stay healthy, and this is what winds up happening.
I don't disagree with Max, but it's more complicated than that. In the interest of full disclosure, I've known Rick Carlisle for years. I love the guy, and I think that he's a great coach. But I think that if you're the Dallas Mavericks, you're Rick Carlisle and you're Mark Cuban, you got to sit down and you got to talk about his future in Dallas. Over the last 10 years, they've been out of the first round 6 times, and the other 4 they didn't make the playoffs since they won the title. It's been a decade. I believe that Rick Carlisle deserves to be a head coach on the NBA level. No question about it. I think Boston would be a great spot for him. You understand? I have to wonder about him in Dallas. And here's why. And by the way, I'm wondering about Mark Cuban, too. It's just that Mark Cuban's the owner, and you don't get rid of yourself. I'm not advocating that anybody get rid of. Here's what I'm saying. The city of Dallas, stop the presses, because I'm about to say something nice.
Okay.
I know they got the Dallas Cowboys there contaminating the city.
Stay focused.
I understand that. I'm focused. I'm very focused. Dallas is a marvelous city.
Yeah.
It is a marvelous city. Okay. And it's got no state income taxes.
And it's warm weather.
Right? And warm weather for the most part. Why the hell can't you recruit anybody to this franchise? No one goes to Dallas. No free agent goes to Dallas. Rick Carlisle did an outstanding job coaching this series. Look what he was working with. Did an outstanding job coaching this series. But repeatedly, year after year after year, they don't have the personnel. I don't know if Dallas has been a favorite in the last decade. I don't know if they've been a favorite. Dirk Nowitzki couldn't get anybody to come play with him. Luka, thus far, doesn't have anybody to play with
him. You would think you get free agents.
We thought Porzingis.
Yeah. He thought Porzingis. Well, that was a trade that they were able to pull up because Porzingis wanted out of New York. Yeah. My point is that what the hell is going on with the Dallas Mavericks where you can't get marquee free agents to consider your franchise? No state income taxes, good weather, great sports town.
And usually a cornerstone star.
An owner that brings attention to you. A fantastic coach in Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle knows what the hell he's doing. He needs to be someplace where they got personnel. Because if I can knock Rick Carlisle for one thing, it's an absence of the ability to recruit, and even that is suspect. Because guess what? Usually the stars will do it, or you got an owner who's a star in Mark Cuban. But it doesn't seem to happen.
And also Luka and before that, Dirk, you would think that those guys would attract other superstars. It is bizarre.
With that being said, do you feel like Luka's the best player in the world right now?
Here's my thing, Molly.
Yeah.
Prove to me that he's not.
I can.
Who? Well, hold up. Prove to me that he's not.
I can.
Like, yeah, okay, you get your chance in a second.
Okay. Well, you said you asked a question. Prove to me he's not. I said I can.
I presume that you will try in a minute.
To hear what you're saying, well, because, so go ahead, please.
Check this out. LeBron might be in decline. We don't know. He's got the ankle. He's older. He got knocked out in the first round. Can we definitively say at this moment, we know for sure, as we normally do, LeBron's the best player in the world? I mean, he might be. I've been fooled before because he got hurt 2 years ago, but before the bubble season, I was like, oh, maybe he's not. But we can't prove definitively that he is. Usually he has the playoffs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say KD is? He's not defending.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, well, it's because of his motivation. Whatever. Mm-hmm. KD, he's trying to defend. He's just not doing a great job of it most nights.
Yeah.
James Harden has been hurt, and now he's hurt again. Luka on offense, and his three isn't even where it's going to be pretty soon, mm-hmm. but he can get it whenever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Luka on offense. Let me tell you what the NBA is right now. There are about six or seven players, and every day of the week, one of them is the best player in the world. I'm saying right now, Luka spends as many days as the best player in the world as anyone else.
But that sounds like by default, Max. Mm-hmm. That sounds like you're saying Luka because all these other guys are banged up. Is that what you're saying?
Partly age, partly they're banged up, partly Luka's on fire, partly he can carry a team, an island of misfit toys. He can, like, Luka is as likely a candidate to be the best player in the game at this moment as anyone.
What's wrong?
Max's argument is completely diluted by the fact that he questions and has questioned whether or not Kevin Durant is the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because Max has brought up what he's lacking in defense. On KD's worst day, he plays better defense than Luka. That is a fact. Luka don't defend. We all know that. So if by virtue of the sheer consideration that Luka is the best in the world, then you automatically have to put Kevin Durant there. Because he don't play defense like Kevin. Luka ain't Kevin Durant. And oh, by the way, Kevin Durant was an elite defender a couple of years ago. He's still getting back, even though he's healthier now and what have you. You know, we expect him to be even better next year. I don't see Kevin Durant getting slayed by defenders. You act like he can't play defense at all. I don't see that happening with him. I see Kevin Durant looking good on defense some nights. There's been plays where people have gotten the better of him, but I don't see him walking away with somebody getting smoked. Now, Jason Tatum just dropped 50 on them. Okay, that's one game. But I'm just saying, I don't see that. Now, let's get to Luka. Long you say, you prove to me that he's not. Let me tell you a weakness that Luka Doncic has that I haven't heard anybody bring up. And anybody out there who said it, I'm sorry if I've missed it. I haven't heard it. Do you know how terrible Luka is offensively without the ball? When he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's standing still. He don't move. He doesn't move. Guess why? So in other words, do you have any? That is a problem. When I bring up Steph Curry, as great of a sniper as he is, what do I always bring up? His movement without the basketball, the fact that you have your head on a swivel, you don't know where he is, you're constantly looking for him because he's always moving. Trae Young, movement without the basketball as well. He's trying to find his little self. Where the hell is he? Because I can't leave this dude open. Damian Lillard, even though he doesn't move as much as them, still moves without the ball. Luka is a stationary target.
Luka.
Without the ball. Now, I know what he does when he has the ball in his hands, even though there's a couple of fourth quarters he didn't show up in the series, but that's neither here nor there. I know what he does with the ball in his hands, and
Luka,
I know.
But you're questioning defense, and you're questioning when he doesn't have the ball in his hands.
I just like
That's
to answer
fair.
A few things.
And not
there,
the greatest three-point shooter.
He's not.
Three knocks
he's
from
not.
Stephen A.
Luka Doncic, everything you just said, there's validity to a lot of that. And Luka just played a playoff series.
Averaging 35 and 10.
36, 10 and 8.
So?
40% from the arc. So he didn't have a second banana and took the Clippers seven games.
Wait a minute. Who? The Clippers just got bounced out seven games last time we saw him by Denver. Are you telling me? I just need to be clear. Mm-hmm. I need to be clear. Are you telling me that Luka Doncic is a better offensive player than Kevin Durant?
I'm saying he is like James Harden, only he shows up in big moments. He's James Harden, but in the playoffs,
that's
has
always
been the
gonna
same
go in places. Like James Harden, but shows up when
it
counts.
Did you notice that? Did you not hear me ask this man a direct question? Did I bring up James Harden in my question?
No, but that was a good quote.
I understand that. Did I bring up James
no,
Harden?
You said Kevin Durant.
I asked you a direct question. Are you saying?
I'm saying
that Luka Doncic, I'm asking the question, are you saying that Luka Doncic is a better offensive player than Kevin Durant?
I am not saying he's a better offensive player than Kevin Durant. I'm saying he may be as important that Luka, that I can't say KD is better than Luka right now. KD's got to show it. He has the playoffs to show it. He's got to go do it.
Kevin Durant.
He's got to go do it.
A career 27 point per game scorer.
Yep.
A two-time champion,
yep.
A two-time NBA Finals MVP, who we all acknowledge in his sleep can mm-hmm. average 30. Are you saying that Kevin Durant has to prove? So Luka's home. Luka's home. Kevin Durant has to prove?
You're trying to be slick. Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant is a better scorer than Luka. He's a better scorer than almost anyone who ever lived. Luka is much more like James Harden. He controls the entire offense, like Harden or LeBron. The difference is LeBron's hurt and Harden's hurt. Luka's not. That
Luka
type of player might be the most important kind of player in the NBA. Healthy one.
No.
The young one.
The conversation started off with you saying,
yep.
Tell me, show me he's not. Prove to me he's not.
Right.
That's how it started. So what I'm saying to
he's proving Kevin Durant here.
Kevin Durant's the proof.
As a one-on-one player, but it's not a one-on-one game. Kevin Durant, when Harden's been hurt this year, when he's been out, KD and Kyrie's record is not that impressive. When Harden plays, the record's very impressive because Harden, like Luka or like LeBron, is the dude that makes everyone around him better.
Well, you were liking Harden even more than Luka, but I think it's just Luka's now showed up in the playoffs. Harden, you needed to see that
still. And I like KD.
But this season, you were really high on Harden.
I like KD more, too, if he's fully healthy, but I haven't seen on the defensive end that he's back to where
Again,
he was.
It's a little bit based on default, Stephen A., because of injury in his age.
Yeah, that's the league changes.
He did not say. He did not say. Kevin Durant is not healthy. He said, Kevin Durant has to show me he has to prove it. That's what he said. Of course, injuries with LeBron, injuries with Westbrook, injuries with Durant, injuries with Harden, injuries with anybody. We're not talking about that. I'm just saying, based on what we have seen,
get hot in here.
The man has been in the league for 13, 14 years.
One person who agrees with Stephen A. is Michael Thompson. Our very own here at ESPN, Clay's daddy.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, no D.
Okay, there we go. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Last night, a heavyweight matchup in Miami. An internet sensation went to blows with no real winners in a fight you guys might have heard about. Logan Paul went the distance versus Floyd Mayweather in the exhibition for 8 3-minute rounds. There were no judges, no official winner read, and the fight will not count toward either fighter's professional record there. The Florida State Boxing Commission did not officially sanction the fight due to the large disparity in size and experience level, though it was provided with a referee, Samuel Burgos, as the referee. Max, I'll start with you. Was last night's event good for boxing?
Stephen A., I'm curious to hear what you have to say on this because I suspect I know where you're going.
I don't think it was good for boxing. I really don't. I'm disappointed in it. And, you know, the state of Florida wouldn't sanction about a 35-pound difference. Floyd Mayweather came in heavier than he's ever been, usually fighting at 145 to 147. Fought at 155 last night. Logan Paul was at 189.5 pounds. It was like watching Rocky against Drago, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about before they actually started boxing. I'm just talking about the size, just the appearance. I just look at it from this perspective. I love what Logan Paul and Jake Paul have done in terms of showing the boxing public that there's a way to make this money and to gain notoriety for yourself without being at the mercy of the promoters. If you want to say that it's good for boxing, I think that it's good from the standpoint that it puts pressure on the promoters, in my estimation, or it should put pressure for them to give us the fights that we want to see. Like, for example, there's no reason on earth that we should not see
Crawford
versus Errol Spence. Mm-hmm. We should see that, okay? Anthony Joshua with Tyson Fury, we'll get that hopefully. But Wilder gets Fury for a third time again. Maybe Andre Ward will come out of retirement. Max, you'll know about that one day. I love Canelo Alvarez. He's my favorite fighter right now, and I think he's pound for pound number one in the world. You want to see those kind of things. But when I look at this, and I just say to myself, a world-class, all-world champion like Floyd Money Mayweather, given a YouTuber this opportunity who's had one fight on his professional record, you know, and then you last 8 rounds, that's going to give life to novices out there who don't belong in the same class as these guys to think that they can do stuff like this. And I think that it's going to compromise the quality level of competition that we all salivate for when it really, really comes to boxing. As an aside, Max, just so you know, I don't know if you remember the former NBA player, Kendall Gill.
Of course.
Yes. Kendall Gill and I spoke yesterday. He's been training twice a day for years.
Oh, yeah.
Boxing.
Yeah, he's calling everybody out. Yeah.
Well, he wants Jake Paul. He's been calling Jake Paul out for a long time. He wants Jake Paul badly. Mm-hmm. You know, an exhibition like that, I wouldn't mind seeing that Jake Paul. Assuming you get past Tyron Woodley. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I'll bet you we see that. I don't know if we see it next, but I'll bet you we see it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think it was bad for boxing at all. I don't think it was a bad night. First of all, Floyd Mayweather's retired, and he's never coming out of retirement. He already made that clear.
Yes.
That was not Floyd Mayweather in a professional prize fight. That was Floyd Mayweather in an exhibition, which he deemed entertainment. He told everybody ahead of time what
he
it was going to be.
He did.
This is no buyer beware. He told you. It's not like he sold you a false bill of goods. He told you, this is an exhibition. I'm going to go out and have fun, which is what he did. Now, Logan Paul built up enough of a following, I would say, in social media, 20 million people, that he brings a lot of economic clout to events. And since he's much bigger than Floyd, and Floyd's been retired for years and everything, there was something about it that was intriguing. We can't pretend it wasn't. Who didn't want to see it? People bought it. Because this is all you need to know. Ding, ding, round one. You watching, yes or no? Floyd and Logan Paul? Oh, yeah, yeah, you're watching. That's all you need to know. Everything else doesn't matter. And does it hurt boxing? Let me tell you, you brought up Rocky and Drago, right, Stephen A.? That's not the right Drago reference. The right Drago reference is Apollo and Drago. What you don't want is that in an exhibition, right? Oh, no one got knocked out, and Floyd just kind of played with him after the second round and walked him down and kind of didn't really want to finish him, it seemed, and all that. Do we want the opposite? We want Floyd to kill him, right? Is that what we're looking for? Do we want Logan Paul, you know, rushed to a hospital in an ambulance? Is that what we're looking for? No, it's an exhibition. Were you entertained? Yeah, I was entertained. By the way, good undercard, Hurd and Arias. That was an upset, real good fight. You got to see Ocho Cinco. That was a night of entertainment. Now, it was, you don't want to pay $50 the next time one of the Paul brothers fights or Mayweather. Don't do it. No one's forcing you. But I'll tell you this. There are some events people try to make and the public's just like, meh, I don't care. That wasn't this. People cared. I got no beef.
Did they care because of Paul or they cared because of Floyd?
Well, they cared because of the combination, but we can't ignore a dude with 19 million followers on Instagram, which is what Logan Paul has. That's number one. Number two.
And he fought as hard as he could.
Tell me. I'm not knocking him. He did fight as hard as he could and what have you, and I get all of that. What I'm saying is that when you look at Floyd and the quality of guy that he went up against and the fact that that guy lasted 8 rounds, you're going to see a situation where folks out there are obviously thinking about making money. No crime in that. No crime in that. But they're going to continue what I would remind you, the great, phenomenal Jim Lampley, Larry Merchant, and others lamented for years. People picking and choosing their level of competition. It usually isn't the stiffest. And now it's been taken to another level. Because if I got YouTubers out there who ain't quite ready yet, you know, to go up against big-time boxers and what have you, all right? And they're lasting. Excuse me, if I find the right opponent to entertain folks, I don't have to worry about getting in the real fight.
No,
I
what,
think those
Stephen
kind
A?
Of things
no,
can
what?
Compromise
Literal.
Boxing.
No, what?
Can
Here's
compromise
the thing.
Boxing.
I would understand that if the argument is, look, the boxing public only has so many dollars in terms of disposable income. They're only going to buy so many pay-per-views. And if they're spending money on this, that means that fighters who deserve it more, you know, Terrence Crawford, they're not going to spend money there. But that's not what's happening. This is not the boxing public that's buying these fights by and large. These are casuals. These are people who follow
Logan
Paul.
Yeah, but that's when sports are really on another level, when they bring in viewer, Max,
What I'm saying is you're not soaking boxing fans here. They'll have disposable income for other fights. You're not taking that away from
the fighters. Debate to be continued.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We know Falcons fans have dealt with plenty of heartbreak. Remember Super Bowl 51? Yeah. Well, that being said, I hope you took a moment out of your day to check in on the Falcons fan in your life, because their superstar Julio Jones is headed to Tennessee. Hey, at least the Hawks won. The Falcons agreed to trade Jones to the Titans yesterday in exchange for a 2022 second-round draft pick and a 2023 fourth-round selection to the Falcons. Along with Jones, the Falcons will send a 2023 sixth-round pick to Tennessee. Here's Titans GM John Robinson on his Super Bowl hopes with his new squad.
We don't set expectations, Jared. I think my charge is to try to get as many good football players on the team as possible and let them go out there and do their jobs and play the style of football that we want to play and let the chips fall where they may. Everybody's undefeated right now. It's a new season. Everybody has a chance to go the distance and win the thing. So ultimately, it's our job to try to put a team out there that's going to be competitive, that's going to play stylistically the way that we want to play, and I'm excited about this team.
Stephen A., if my memory serves me correctly, 2019 AFC Championship game, Tennessee Titans, Kansas City Chiefs. Do you think the Titans are the biggest threat to the Chiefs now?
Right now, I think they are because I believe in Derrick Henry that much. I think that he's a deal changer, no question about it. The brother's big time. He just rushed for over 2,000 yards. I think like the ninth player in NFL history to do so. He's an absolute stud. He's still healthy. Somehow, some way, his legs haven't given out on him. Got a new contract, well-deserved, by the way. I actually thought he deserved a little bit more in the guaranteed dollars than $25 million, you know, because that averages out to a little over $6 million a year or so. I think he deserved more than that. But that's neither here nor there. John Robinson's doing a good job. And I'm a Vrabel fan. I like Coach Vrabel. I like that hard knocks, you know, tough, you know, kind of demeanor that he has when it comes to his football team. And I think they resemble it. I think a lot of times, obviously, offensively, they could have been a bit better because all they really had was Derrick Henry. Now, again, you did have Tannehill complete 65.5% of his passes, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and we know that he's been good for them. But nevertheless, they've been limited. Corey Davis, as good as he was, wasn't necessarily reliable. As Keyshawn pointed out, was inconsistent. A.J. Brown is a young stud. You put Julio Jones on the opposite side, you're going to change this. I don't think you're going to run the football as much as you used to because you don't have to. You don't get Julio Jones to throw the football less. That's not what you do. And I think that an offense can serve a defense because I think that their defense won't spend as much time on the field. I think their defense, as a result, particularly with Janoris Jenkins and Bud Dupree leaving Pittsburgh to go there, I think the defense would be upgraded to a degree. And I think offensively they're going to be a force, and they're playing in a relatively weaker division. I think the combination of all those things put them in a position that come playoff time, I think that they'll be a big-time threat. I like what Tennessee has done here.
Nope. It's the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are going to be the biggest threat, and they play in week one to the Chiefs this upcoming season. In fact, are the Chiefs going to go undefeated or are they going to have a loss after week one? Look, why are we talking about Tennessee right now? You talk about the run game. You sure that Derrick Henry is better than the combination of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, particularly running behind the best pass, the best run blocking offensive line in football? You know what else they were? The best pass protecting offensive line in football. Both. It almost never happens. They were both. But you know why we're talking about, in fact, Tennessee right now? Really? Because they just got Julio Jones. Boy, it's going to be hard. Like, who else is going to add a receiver? Like, who? Oh, excuse me. The Browns are adding Odell Beckham Jr. The Browns might be adding a better receiver than Tennessee right now. Adding him to the best offensive line, both sides. By the way, anyone pick up, like, make a real splash picking up a big name on defense? Like, I don't know, Jadeveon Clowney, getting a guy like Greedy Williams back. Like, the Browns' defense should be better, but the real story is going to be the offense. And now you look at quarterback. Baker Mayfield was 10th in the league in QBR last year. And I know you look at Baker Mayfield, you look at Tannehill, you say maybe it's about a wash. But who do you think has more upside? You know, there's a reason that Baker was drafted 1 overall. And now he's got this squad that's, if anything, gotten even offensively better. No. The Browns are the number one threat. The Cleveland Browns are the number one threat in the AFC.
I don't know. Well, Vrabel, I think, is advantage in the coaching department, though.
Well, Stefanski did a hell of a job. He did a hell of a job last year.
But
that's the argument. See, that's the argument that you gave, but you actually let Max off the hook here. I'm surprised you did that, Molly. I'm surprised you didn't catch Max with his drivel.
What?
Isn't this the guy that said that Cleveland was better off without Odell Beckham Jr.? Because when having Odell Beckham Jr., Baker Mayfield has a problem because you're prioritizing throwing Odell Beckham Jr. the ball, or you're looking for it, and as a result, that could get in the way. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying to you is this. Odell Beckham Jr. coming back, Jarvis Landry still being there. And by the way, you with Baker Mayfield having a good season last year and being markedly improved, the reality is that, again, you're going to be a bit judicious in terms of spreading the football. And when you ask the question directly, Max, is Derrick Henry better than the combination of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb? My answer would be statistically, yes.
But what do you think?
Because, wait a minute. He ran for more yards than the both of them combined.
Okay. If you said, I'll give you Derrick Henry, you give me Nick Chubb and All I'm saying,
over the long term, yeah, but if you're talking to me for a game or a season.
I want to get into the Odell thing. You were right about one thing, wrong about the other. You were right to identify that I had said that Baker's better off without Odell. It's not because, he now has to be they don't have chemistry. Part of that is because Odell could push back, right? Hold on. If I'm out on the field and I'm not getting the ball, Baker, everybody else better be going crazy. But here's the difference now. That was coming off a season where they really weren't very good. Now they're coming off a season where Odell wasn't there and they were really good. So Odell has to be an addition who can't take away, and he knows that going in. If he remains on the squad, that's just additive. You have a great all-around football player in Odell as a receiver who can do everything. So, you put him on a team which is run-centric, right. It is only going to help them.
So you just finished saying with a straight face that a wide receiver has to come in understanding that they're not going to be a primary target, that they're not going to necessarily get the football.
Necessarily.
I mean, that's what you're saying, that a wide receiver has to come in there and have that understanding.
Necessarily. Mm-hmm. No. He has to know he can't be a distraction.
Real quick, because we do have to go to break, and Stephen A. is going to get mad at me to say, you don't give us time. But I just got to say, there's this team called the Buffalo Bills as well.
True.
Let's not forget. So they're there.
Offensively, I think they're challenged. I think the challenge is because, Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs needs some help.
But Josh Allen has more upside than Baker or Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm saying that, but I just think they need more help.
At the wide receiver position, but not at quarterback.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Devin Booker looking like a man amongst boys with the Joker and MVP state of mind. The Suns-Nuggets semifinals tips off tonight in their three meetings in the regular season. The Nuggets have the edge 2-1, but every game brought the action. One game was tied by 3 points in regulation. One went to OT. The remaining one went to double OT. So, fellas, it looks like we're in for a good time in the West, but there might be a changing of the guard in the NBA. The eight conference semifinalists have combined for 5 titles total, with the 76ers being the last team to win it all. That was in 83. None have won a title since the playoffs expanded to 16 teams in 84. Max Kellerman up first. Who wins this series? Talk to me.
I think the Nuggets win it. It's really tough to call. I think the Nuggets win it. And let me just say before I say anything else, it's heartbreaking that Jamal Murray can't play on this Denver team. I think that if Jamal Murray was on this Denver team, they get out of the West. I agree. It's a huge hit. Now, they happen to have a very deep roster of guards who can play, right? And so it makes up for some of it. But the number one thing, Porter Jr. can shoot the lights out, and Aaron Gordon was a great addition to the team. Jokic is the best player in every series he plays. He'll be the best player in this series, too. And by the way, what do I mean by best? The MVP of the regular season. Last time I checked, as you would say, Stephen A., Chris Paul and Devin Booker played in the regular season. They weren't the MVP. Jokic was. And now we're in the postseason. And if Jokic was the type of dude who you're like, yeah, but he's limited what he can do in the postseason. Sometimes bigs are like that. You need another star with him. But this dude can shoot from the outside, can pass as well as any big man who ever lived, can take the ball up if you need him to. That he remains the same MVP guy in the postseason as he is in the regular season. That makes him the best player in the next series, and I think this thing goes 7, and I think the Joker wins it.
I think it goes 7 as well. But a 7th game would be in Phoenix. And I'm going with the Phoenix Suns to win this series in 7 games. It's tight. It's dicey. Jokic is Jokic. DeAndre Ayton's going to have to be ready. They're relatively small without DeAndre Ayton. I get all of that. I see the elevation of Michael Porter, who I'm very, very impressed with. I like this kid a lot. I think that he's a future star in this league. I said, but I will tell you that when I look at the floor generalship of a Chris Paul, assuming he's healthy, I look at Cameron Payne, who I've been very impressed with coming off the bench and being as active as he is.
Yep.
Devin Booker is Jamal Murray plus, potentially. We've seen Devin Booker. He's a star. We know what he brings to the table, okay? So you got Devin Booker, and you got Bridges, and you got Ayton, and you got CP3, and Payne, and Johnson. I'm looking at them, and I'm saying, excuse me, I could see this going back and forth, back and forth. But could I see this being finishing in seventh with the Phoenix Suns pulling it out? Yes,
it,
I do.
It just kills me that Jamal Murray's
yes,
not in the series.
Yeah. I would not pick Phoenix if Jamal Murray were healthy.
Well, when I think back to the bubble and the first round, him and Donovan Mitchell going back and forth, that's how you get a rivalry in the NBA. Like, you have two young guys around the same level on the way up doing that. Jamal Murray, I just want to remind people, last year had a game of 50 points and no turnovers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, 50 points and no turnovers, and you're a point guard. It was unbelievable. But Campazzo, you could throw different guys' names out there. There's, you know, we talk about playoff Rondo. Stephen A., I'm here to tell you, there's playoff Rivers. Austin Rivers in the playoffs.
Yes, he is.
He really has a knack for stepping up. And when I think of where he came from, early in his career, it's the worst pick-and-roll point guard you ever want to see in the NBA. He had a name because the Rivers name, everything is like, and he was a great high school prospect. It's like, oh, my God, he's terrible.
Hit that big-time game-winning shot against Duke against North Carolina, too, which is one of the most beautiful scenes you'll ever see with Doc Rivers and his children in attendance, and Rivers hit that game-winning shot against North Carolina. Yep. I mean, that's what
he's got it in him. It's in the bloodlines. But, like, he went from he is a real threat in the playoffs, and you look at Aaron Gordon, the way that trade is working out.
Aaron Gordon.
Yes. Jokic knows just how to use him. It's going to be a great series.
Jokic is special.
Absolutely.
Man.
All right. I hear you have info, so let's keep it going. Within hours of Terry Stott and the Portland Trailblazers parting ways on Friday night, their star Damian Lillard made it clear that he wanted Jason Kidd as his successor. This endorsement not sitting well with Kidd, who formally withdrew consideration from the gig, saying Dame's public proclamation left him uncomfortable and feeling like he would put both Dame and Portland's process in an awkward circumstance. Stephen A., who should the Blazers target as head coach to keep Lillard happy?
Well, to answer the question, number one, it was right to have been Jason Kidd because that's who Damian Lillard wanted. Mark Jackson, yet again, I'm going to bring up that name yet again, our colleague and analyst here at ESPN. How the hell this man don't get interviews? It's just beyond me. It's just beyond me. Mark Jackson should be interviewed by Portland. Mark Jackson should be interviewed by Boston. Mark Jackson should be interviewed for damn it any head coaching job out there in the NBA, considering what he brought to the table. Max, I'll leave a couple of names to you.
I just want one name.
On my list. I'll leave that. Chauncey Billups is a name I'm going to throw out there as well. But let me get to this Jason Kidd thing, because I will remind everybody, I know I'm doing First Take, and I got Stephen A.'s World, and I'm a very, very busy man in studio, but I have been covering the NBA for a quarter century. I do know a lot of people, and I know everybody involved in all of this stuff with Jason Kidd. Everybody. Now, let me say this. Jason Kidd's name comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Lillard throws out his name.
Gave him an out.
They're Oakland natives, mm-hmm. both of them. They've known each other for years, okay? That's why Damian Lillard did that, because he respects the brother and he knows him, all right? And then all of a sudden, all this noise comes out about Jason Kidd's past. Molly, domestic violence, 2000, 2001, I believe it was, DWI, 2012. I would remind everybody that since that time, no other incident has happened. Jason Kidd has had not one but two head coaching jobs in Brooklyn and Milwaukee. But somehow the Knicks job comes up, people start talking about his past. Okay? The Lakers job, because they wanted him before Frank Vogel, people start talking about his past. Now Portland comes up and people start talking about his past. And I find that a tad bit odd, how all of these stories just suddenly percolate right when the time when it seems ideal that the brother's about to get a head coaching job. At some point in time, it's like this. Excuse me. What about merit? The merit of what you do? Because Jason Kidd has been happily married for over 10 years. Ain't had no incidents to speak of or whatever. Okay? And if you're good enough to be an assistant coach on a team, okay, then your merit should decide whether or not you're the head coach, as opposed to somebody bringing up stuff from 20 years ago. All right? So I find that a tad bit odd. He was not uncomfortable. You have to figure out how I know this. He was not uncomfortable with Damian Lillard recommending him. He was honored that Damian Lillard would recommend him for that job. Now, Neil O'Shea is running the show in Portland, okay? And he finally decides to get rid of Terry Stotts. And all of a sudden, you hear these candidates, and conveniently these stories come leaking out. Max, now you know me. I'm a very, very busy man, like I said, until you require my attention and ask me to, and essentially force me to look into stuff. I have better things to do, but now this got my attention because I want to know why. I want to know why, and all of a sudden, you understand, a name like Jason Kidd comes out and we start hearing about all of these things that we all knew, but nobody talked about. And every single time he comes up for a head coaching job, that's the only time somebody says, wait a minute now. Now, this man's employed. Ain't like he ain't been unemployed. He's employed in the NBA.
Yeah. Like it's okay for him to be an assistant. It's not okay for him to be a head coach.
Real quick, the way I read him saying he was uncomfortable was, it just sounds to me like maybe the Lakers job might be available before too long, and maybe he would be considered for that.
It could be, but I doubt it. But that's not it. He was not uncomfortable.
I got you. Let me say this. I'd love to see Sam Cassell. You always talk about the paucity of African-American head coaches. Well, if you go to retreads, guys who've already had jobs, you're not entering any fresh blood in there. Why not a guy who's paid his dues in the assistant ranks, Sam Cassell, a champion as a player, as a top assistant coach, get his name in there. And I really like that idea of Sam Cassell.
Yep.
And
so do I. So do I.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jason Kidd, just so you know, Jason Kidd with Sam Cassell, where their strength comes in, particularly with Jason Kidd, why the Lakers were so interested in him, it was Jason Kidd that developed Giannis. He's big on player development, him and his team. When you play with Jason Kidd or you play for Jason Kidd, you get better as a talent. Yusuf Nurkic. Just a thought.
You give Dame whatever coach he wants.
Yes, you
Dame
do.
Dame says, I want
Neil
this coach.
Neil O'Shea.
Who would you want, Kidd or Cassell, if you had a choice?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Sorry, gotta do it. It's first take.
I would say Sam Kidd. Cassell. I would say Kidd because Damian Lillard wants him. Well, Neil O'Shea.
Matt?
Unless we want to show Sam that Damian
Cassell. You gotta give Lillard what he wants.
Give Lillard what he wants.
Back with more good stuff tomorrow. See you then.